chapter 40. Again, a belated happy anniversary to the Jason and Katie. Where is your husband, by the way? Oh, fishing. Oh, okay. Would like to believe that, yeah. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. I read that this morning. I went, I was not patient at all waiting for the Lord. But here the psalmist is making a really great statement here. He's saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. And, you know, that's really a finished work statement because you're going to wait for the Lord. You're not going to rush him. He's going to move in his sweet time. And like Pastor Palmer told me many years ago, the Lord may be slow, but he's never late. So you just wait patiently right there for the Lord. And he inclined his ear to me. And this is the beautiful part. Do you realize that God inclines his ear to you when you're waiting? And he heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps, taught me how to walk again. Then he put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Herein lies this beautiful personal testimony of a man who was touched by God, an undeserving person in a miry pit, a completely undeserving person and an incapable person, incapable of pulling himself out of a miry pit, had to be pulled out by somebody else. He brought me up out of the miry pit and set my feet on a rock and established my steps and got me walking right again. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I had a beautiful conversation yesterday with a dear friend who was struggling with a family matter. And we talked for a little bit. I just happened to call her about something else. I haven't spoken to her in probably a year. And I called her about something unrelated, and she said, it is incredible that you're calling me today, out of every day, out of any day. And she began to just pour out the situation. And I had no idea, and God arranged this phone call. And I spoke with her in depth. And the following day, her husband, it was this morning or yesterday morning, wrote me a beautiful note. And just said, the timing of that call, you have no idea, Pastor, the timing of that call. And I thought, here's a couple that is following hard after God after all those years. Still following Christ, not turning aside, but seeking God. And they inclined them, they cried out to God, and he heard their cry, inclined his ear to them. I feel bad all they got was me when God answered. But you know what? They reached out to God, and God would use anybody just to touch them is such a beautiful, incredible thing. And I know he's done that with me. I know he's done that with you. But what I was thinking about when I read this is that when I realize what I've been brought out of, I begin to just trust him for everything. It's when I forget what I've been brought out of that I stop trusting him for everything. And then I'm influenced by the proud and I turn aside to lies. The proud is really anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, any principle, any ideal, any kind of service that would pull me away from Christ on any level, and the lies that I believe about him, about me, about others, will turn me aside. And then you find yourself in this poisoned place. You find yourself in a dark place. And you know what you do? You go back to when he pulled your feet out of the miry clay and put them on a rock and showed you how to walk. And you get up and you start walking right again. But this is really all of our testimony, right? We were in a miry pit, a nasty place, where we were trapped in sin and could not save ourselves. Now, some of you youngsters who brought up in a Christian home may not fully understand this, but I want to tell you something. You were just as wicked coming up in your nice Christian home as that street person who grew up in a city in a crack house. You were just as wicked, because in every one of us lies the nature of sin. Do you understand this? And we are all capable of equal evil. So I think to myself, well, you know, I grew up in a nice home, nice family. I was loved. My parents taught me the gospel. And I was so happy, and in the middle of the song, I realized all my three kids are up here helping me with worship. And it just dawned on me. I know I've thought that before, but it just blows my mind. I can't even believe it. And they're all pretty good. You know, it touched me to know that. But in all that, they've grown up in this home. I want them to know that you were in a miry pit, because we were all in Adam. Do you understand this? Got it? And he pulls us out of that pit and sets us on a rock. And then it says here, he established my steps. This is where we get into trouble, Kyle. Where you specifically get in a lot of trouble. No, I'm just kidding. But do you want God to teach you how to walk? That's a question. Yes. Kyle said, yes. Let's give Kyle a big hand. Yeah. It's important, right? It is. Do I want to know how to walk with God? This is kind of a simple thing to ask, but would you like to walk with God? Would you like to walk in God's ways? Because there's a lot of alternatives, and they all lead to death. It may not be a physical death right away, but I'll tell you what. Ask Adam in heaven when you see him what death meant. And he will tell you his relationship with God died. His relationship with his wife died. His relationship with creation died. He made these accusations about his wife. He was living in denial. He was hiding from God when God came to fellowship with him. Adam knew death without being laid in the ground. You'll know death without being laid in the ground if you walk outside of God's steps, because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. See? So here's our testimony. We are pulled out of this miry pit, this clay. And by the way, it's one thing to be pulled out of a pit of sand. It's another thing to be pulled out of a pit of clay. What does clay do that sand doesn't do? It sticks to you, doesn't it? So we come out of this pit, but there's still clay on us. We're out of the pit. We're saved. We're God's children, but many times we are covered with clay. And sometimes it takes years for God to wash that clay off a little bit at a time and clean us up. But there's those remnants of clay. And then we've got to learn how to walk. And God shows us that, thankfully. So another beautiful verse in Psalm 66 that I want to share before I go on to the main points. Psalm 66. Psalm 66:16 says this. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Now, I may be covered with clay. I may have remnants of it all over my legs and shoes and shirt, like I was at the Empire Farm Days today. I had to come home, change my pants, and go back to the office because I was covered with mud. Covered with clay, but I will declare what God has done for my soul. See, a lot of people wait. They're waiting for that magic day when there's no clay on them at all, where they're not, they're perfect. Then I will testify. Well, you're going to wait a long time. But come, all ye that hear, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I want to do that. Don't you? Don't you want to? There's something in all of us, I think, like the believer, when you realize that you've been rescued and you start to hear things about the love of God that you didn't know before. Like that song for the offering said, many of us grew up where at the drop of a hat, God would turn His back on us. We grew up believing that. I grew up believing that. Then I heard a different message. I heard Christ died, was buried, and rose again for me. And that the love of God drove Christ to the cross. And the moment I believed, He accepted me and loved me and made me His own forever. When I heard that, I thought, I got to tell somebody about this. I cannot keep this to myself. And every believer has that season when they come to a point in their life where they say, I cannot keep this to myself. And many times, something happens, and for some reason, that stops. Why do you think that is? Details, turned aside, other priorities, fear of man. One of the biggest things is the fear of man that'll keep you from sharing your faith. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. You know, not to be obnoxious, but don't ever be afraid of man. No. Especially as an American, you have nothing to be afraid of. We have no excuse at all. You know, what are they going to do? Make fun of you? Well, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Or as my friend once said, sticks and stones may break my bones. So please, don't throw any sticks and stones. Just rank me out if you want, but don't throw sticks and stones. We have no reason to be afraid. And we ought to acquire such boldness from those we know in other parts of the world whose lives are threatened in their faith and yet stand for Christ. It ought to inspire us to live for Christ in this culture and to declare what God has done for our souls. I don't need a degree in theology to tell you that I was lonely and He gave me a family. I don't need a degree in theology to tell you that I was guilty and He forgave me. I don't need a degree in theology to tell you I was ashamed and He accepted me. See, I can just declare what the Lord has done for my soul and be quite an effective evangelist. Wouldn't you agree? Doesn't take a, you don't need a degree in doctrine. The doctrine certainly helps us understand, but it isn't necessary to tell somebody about Christ, right? When you have the basics of the gospel and you realize that you were dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2:1. Turn there for a minute. I want you to look at a verse because this is really fascinating to me. I've read this verse a million times. Now, maybe thousands of times. But this really struck me in preparing for tonight. Ephesians 2:1. God bless you, whatever that was. Just let him out. It sounded like you were holding back a little bit. Okay. You got to let those out or you'll blow a gasket. Should hear us in our house. Just let it out. If you don't let them out, they'll go right to the hips. All right. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you he made alive." What does that imply? That you were what? And it says, who were dead. And look why we were dead. In trespasses and sins. Two Greek words here, and what they mean is fascinating. And I've read this before, but it really struck me tonight. I hope it strikes you the same way. Swerving aside, falling, and completely missing my mark. Trespasses means swerving aside and falling and missing my mark. I was going over there, but I swerved aside, fell, and completely missed my mark. We are incapable, listen to me, we are incapable of getting to the goal without Christ because we are dead. And because we're dead, we swerve, fall down, and miss the mark. But when we believe in Christ, we are made alive who were dead. And then it says the direction changes. Verse 2, in which you once walked. Now you're not swerving and falling anymore. You once walked according to this world, according to the prince and power of the air. You were U-I-W, or however you'd say that. You are under the influence. I-U-I, under the influence. UTI under the you had a urinary tract infection. And it was a bad one. Made you swerve and fall and miss the mark. You were under the prince and power of the air. See, most people don't realize this. Before you were saved, you had no control over your own direction. Even though you thought you were in control, that very idea that you were in control was planted in your brain by the devil. You were under his control, thinking you were not. Then you get saved, and you say, oh, I don't want to give up control to God. What? Would you rather be under control of the other one? The evil one? Because this Bible is telling me I was swerving, falling, missing my mark, and I was under the prince and power of the air's authority. He was pushing me around, and I was under his power. Then I get saved, and you get these believers. Oh, I don't want to be accountable. I don't want. I don't. I don't want. I don't want to give up my freedom. Isn't that the funniest thing? That struck me tonight as a fascinating thing. Why am I fighting him? He delivered me from the thing that was killing me, and now I'm running from the thing that would save me, the thing that would make a difference in my life and people's lives around me. What are you doing? Well, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were under the power of the enemy. In Romans 5:10, take a peek over there. It says here in Romans 5:10 that we were enemies. But we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Now, again, please, I don't care if you're in a Christian home. I don't care if it's been nice and, you know, nice Christian music playing all the time and, you know, your parents don't fight and smoke and drink and have carouse and whatever else they do in unsaved homes. I don't know. You grew up in a nice Christian home, good for you. Be thankful for that. But please remember this. You possess the same clay. You had to be pulled out of the same miry pit. You were under the influence of hell. You were dead in trespasses and sins and an enemy of God. Do you understand this? How many of you are getting this morning? Girls, you got this? Annika, Maria, Julia, everybody? You guys over here? Martin people? All I got to do is say to Martins, I get half the church. Martins? Yes, half the church, raise your hand. Zach, you understand this, obviously. Kyle, this makes sense to you? See, you kids grew up here. I've preached to some of you for 15 years. And I was thinking about that this afternoon. This is directed at you. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Understand the predicament you were in as a lost person. And thank God. Right? Am I right? Is this good? You good? Is okay, Kyle? Got this, Kyle? Kyle, I'm especially concerned about you right now because you're in the front row sitting next to Tucker. And I don't know what kind of influence he has on you. We were alienated from God in Colossians 2:1. We were without strength and ungodly. This is not just theology to me. This is reality. Without Christ, I was dead. An enemy of God. No strength. No ability. Couldn't redirect my life. It's quite a state to be in, isn't it? That's quite a place. Unrighteous, unholy, and unfit. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. Under the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. Blinded. Blinded. 2 Timothy 4:4. I was blinded. I was a blind, alienated, weak enemy of God under the sway of the devil on my way to hell, dead in trespasses, stumbling around, missing my goal. Isaiah 1 says, I was also filled with wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. What a mess the lost are in. You get the picture? This person is incomplete, completely incapable of saving themselves. They can't seek God in Romans 3:10. Think of this now. Now we go another direction. They can't seek God in Romans 3:10. They can't understand him in 1 Corinthians 2:12. They aren't subject to him in Romans 8:7. I'll give you all these verses. They delight in doing wrong, Proverbs 2:14. Their own heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. Their thoughts and hearts are darkened, Romans 1:21. But he brought me up out of a miry pit and set my feet on a rock. Wow. I was 16 when it happened. How old were you? What was going on in your life? Do you remember those days? If you don't remember those days, then you need to understand these principles. Paul, I'll be honest with you. You were never at the end of your rope, desperate and willing to give it all up. You never had to get there. Thank God. Right? That's good. But in principle, because you were born in sin, you were wicked, enemy with God. Horrible, unrighteous, unfit, unholy. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. It's true. And believe me, we knew you were a sinner when you were born.
Amen.
We did. We didn't teach you we didn't have to teach you to steal. We didn't have to teach you to lie. We didn't have to teach you to blame other people. We didn't have to teach you to be selfish. We didn't have to teach you to cry when you didn't get what you wanted. Huh? You know why? Because you were born dead in trespasses and sins. Everybody get what I'm driving at here? Raquel, I know as hard as it is for you to believe this, you are just as evil as Paul. You might have been worse. Not to mention Ethan or Liam in the back. The evil that exuded them. They were under the power of Satan. And I'm joking a little bit, but this is the reality. This is how we're born. And your parents led you to Christ. Your parents told you about the gospel, and you were saved as a result of that. You know what you were saved from? Larry, tell them what they were saved from. Eternity in hell. What else were they saved from? Debbie, what were they saved from?
My sins and trespasses.
My sins and trespasses. The incredible things that we've been saved from.
Separation.
And separation from God for all eternity. And separation from others for all eternity, for that matter. See what you've been saved from? So you rejoice. And then you say, I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul. So you have a testimony. You have something to say to the world. Right, Emery? You have something to say to the world, Katie. Don't you? Now, we have a different story. Ephesians 1:6. Are you writing these down? We're accepted in the beloved. Colossians 2:10, complete in Christ. On the other side of Colossians 1:13, I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm there now. Baptized into the body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Woohoo. Identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6. Made a living stone in the tabernacle of God. 1 Peter 2:5. I've been made righteous. Justified, Romans 3:22. I'm part of the bride of Christ, Revelations 19:7-9. Saved eternally, simple verse, John 3:16. Loved unconditionally, Jeremiah 31:3. And kept by the power of God, in 1 Peter 1:5. So no weapon formed against me can prosper. I stand in Jesus Christ. I'm part of the true vine now, and I'm kept by the power of God. Heaven, my destination, my inheritance is preserved by Jesus Christ himself, and I'm held in his hands. John 10. 10:28. Declare what the Lord has done for your soul. Right? Psalm 66:16. I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul, because He has done. What He's done is unimaginable. What He's done is almost indescribable. What He's done was undeserved. What He did was relevant. And how He's changed our lives and our destiny is just incomprehensible. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So we shout to God when we read the verses. We shout to Him and say, yes, I am yours. We shout to God. We're not afraid to speak out about Jesus Christ because of what He's done for our soul. I will declare. That's what he's saying in there in Psalm 16. I will declare what the Lord has done for my soul. And you, devil, can't stop me. You, world, can't slow me down. I won't be distracted or turned aside by lies. Now I want to read that one more time. Go back to Psalm 40 and we'll close. I waited patiently for the Lord and inclined to me. He heard my cry. And He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry, sticky clay. And He set my feet on a rock. And I want you to think of that first moment where you're pulled out of the miry clay and your muddy clay, nasty feet are on the rock. You're on the rock, but there's clay all over you. But you're on that rock. And He established my steps. And isn't it amazing that Jesus washed His disciples' feet? Peter said, oh, wash all of me, Lord. And Peter and Jesus said, well, that's not necessary. You're mine, but your feet are filthy. You're mine now, but your feet are filthy. That's what church is. That's what fellowship is. It's the washing of feet. You don't get saved every time you come to church. Just get your feet washed, right? And walking around in the world, get your feet all dirty. The mind, a little distracted, all kinds of stuff going on. And you come to church and you get your feet washed, nice and clean. Okay. How lovely are the feet of them who bring good news. Set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. Put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. That's the song, by the way. Many will see it and fear. And I will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud. Here's the warning. Make sure that you're not influenced by people who don't know the truth. Make sure you don't get impressed by the wrong people. I used to get very easily impressed by the wrong people. Who impresses you? What impresses you? Kids, be careful. Be careful what impresses you. What lifestyle you think might be impressive. And don't turn aside to lies. The world is loaded with them. Right? It's true, Katie. The world's loaded with lies. And very ready to lie to you. A lot of people don't know they're lying to you, but they are. They don't want to think they're lying. Some people think they're doing you a favor by not telling you the truth. Some people don't know the truth at all. Just talk, 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 talk. Don't fall victim to gossip because you are impressed with someone doing the gossiping. I'll say it again. I was in a with somebody once, very recently, at lunch, and they started in, and I got up, and I excused myself, and I went to another table. I said, I'm not going to be part of this. I stood up, and I moved to another table. I was embarrassed. It was hard to do, but I needed to do it. It probably had zero impact on them, but it had 100% impact on me. Make sense? Don't be turned aside by lies, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for taking us out of this miry, nasty pit and all the things that that pit express. Death, enemies with you, alienated from you, no strength, ungodly, dominated in a lifestyle of sin, unrighteous, unholy, unfit, under the power of darkness, under the power of the devil, blinded and filled with bruises and wounds and filled with sores. Couldn't seek you, couldn't understand you, wouldn't be subject to you, delighted in doing the wrong, having a deceitful heart, a darkened thoughts and a darkened heart. And yet you spoke into our lives this gospel message. He died and buried and rose again for us. And we believed. And now we know who we are. Accepted in you, complete. The kingdom of God, baptized into the body. Identified with your death, burial, and resurrection. Living stones, righteous by faith, part of the bride, saved eternally, loved unconditionally, kept by the power of God, in the hands of Jesus Christ, and many, many other things. That's who we are tonight. So we will declare what the Lord has done for our soul. We will stand and declare who you are to this world. We'll do it wisely. We'll be gracious. We'll be winsome. We'll be winsome. We'll be creative about it. And we will do what you commanded us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.